to another podcast for the Advancing Women in Leadership Task Force. My name is Ashley Andrew, and I'm joined by
Sheila Hanna.
And today we have the privilege of interviewing Heather Vesner, Assistant Professor and current Assistant Dean of our School of Education at Concordia University, Irvine. Good afternoon, Heather. Thank you for meeting with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So let's go ahead and get started. First off, would you mind sharing with us the role you have here at Concordia?
So my current role is Assistant Dean in the School of Education. I came to Concordia about 12 years ago, and I've always worked in the School of Education. I started as a staff member and was field experience coordinator, and then became Director of Student Teaching, and then Director of Teacher Credential, and I recently moved into the role of Assistant Dean in School of Education.
Great, that's awesome. That's awesome to hear. So our next question would be, what is your preferred leadership style experience that has helped advance your leadership walk?
So I would say I'm really at the place in my professional development that I don't have a set leadership style. I'm very much learning about who I am as a leader. And I do that learning by watching other people that are mentoring people or guiding programs or projects or in leadership roles themselves. And I observe how they handle situations. I often go back to them and ask them questions about how they approach their decision-making or how they motivate people. I'm in a doctoral program right now studying organizational leadership. So there's a lot of reading that I'm doing. So I'm very much developing my own perspective on who I am as a leader. I would say I'm naturally inclined to being more collaborative. I enjoy getting a group of people together and listening to other ideas and other perspectives, things I haven't thought about or considered. I find that to be very productive. I also then can take all of that information and strategically look at it and kind of balance that against where are we trying to go or what is the goal and how to bring all of that together to make the most well-informed decision. So that's my natural inclination. I have observed and worked with people who are much more decisive and make very quick decisions. And although that's not my natural style, I've seen the value in that, the efficiency of that, and how much you can get accomplished with that. So I've been stretched in both ways, and I don't know where I will finally land, but that's kind of where I'm at in my own development.
Wonderful. Thanks for sharing, Heather. Mm-hmm. What goals or vision do you have for your current role as the Assistant Dean in the School of Ed?
So as the Assistant Dean, I really feel my number one role is to be a support. The dean of the School of Ed will be the one who will develop the vision for where he wants the team to go in consultation with all the team members and factoring all of those elements in. But then I'm really supporting him and his role, supporting that vision and adding my own ideas, my own thoughts, my own opinions so that we avoid some pitfalls if I see them coming. But really trying to step in the space of where is the current School of Ed going and how can I be a support for that role? I've only been in this position for a year and a half, so I'm learning what it means to be an assistant dean. But right now, that's really how I feel like I'm most equipped to help the whole School of Ed go in a certain direction, is to really support the team members and the vision of the dean. One of the things I've realized that now that we're in this unique dynamic of COVID and we're in a School of Education, it will be very interesting to see how online education transforms following COVID, especially in our K-12 schools. I think there might be a big shift in that area and we'll have to be responsive to that shift. And so I really see myself reading and trying to stay informed and connected with what's happening in school systems so that we can support the needs of schools as educationally, I think we will all start transforming how we do education and how we offer that.
Thank you so much for sharing that information, Heather. You are willing to support your team and then also sharing some of your personal goals as to you currently attending a doctoral program. That's awesome. Right here, we're going to sort of transition a little bit into something personal for you. So even though you are not new to Concordia, is there anything we might not know about you? Maybe a hobby or a talent, for example?
Yes. So people that work with me would know me as being somewhat organized and a list maker. But I actually majored in theater in undergrad and did a lot of plays. And I love the arts. One of the things I love is the arts. I'm not creative at all myself. but I so value art and the beauty in art. And my husband is on the faculty here at Concordia as well and teaches theater. And so he and I love to go to theater. We love art museums. I just find the beauty in art profoundly inspiring. And so those are kind of some of the hobbies that we like to do together. I personally adore movies. I'm a movie junkie. So I will often on my birthday, since my birthday's in January, right around Oscar season, I will go spend the day at the movie theater and watch like 4 to 5 movies back to back. And they're usually Oscar-worthy movies. And so that's kind of my secret treat to myself, is just to spend the whole day at the movie theater. But yeah, we love the arts. I love movies. It's kind of a little thing that people probably don't know about me.
Love that, Heather. How fun. That's great. Well, you mentioned that you are enrolled currently in a doctoral program, so it's safe to assume that you are doing quite a bit of reading. Academic or otherwise, do you have a favorite book or author?
So I am doing a lot of academic reading, but I would prefer to talk about a favorite book, because my academic reading is really informing all these new ideas that I have. So I'm not really settled on where I stand on organizational leadership, and my role as a leader is that's all developing. I love to read nonfiction, biographical type books. I really enjoy learning about people and what motivates people and how to understand how people's life experiences has informed who they are. So those are the types of books that I gravitate toward. I'm doing a little less personal reading right now that I'm in a doctoral program. But someone suggested the book to me recently, Man's Search for Meaning. It's not a new book. It's been around for a while. It's written by Viktor Frankl. And so I picked that up over Christmas and I've started reading it. And it's really interesting. He was in a concentration camp during World War II and is a psychiatrist. So he writes about his experience in a concentration camp and tells those stories, but also gives the perspective or looks at it through the lens of psychology and how the behaviors of the people that were in the concentration camps, some of those behaviors can be described or explained or understood through that psychological lens. So that's been really interesting to start to dive into that. I would highly recommend that book.
Heather, thank you so much for stating that you would highly recommend that book, because now that you mentioned the book, I will definitely look into that for myself. Now, another question I wanted to ask is, what is a motto or a Bible verse by which you live?
There are a lot of mottos and Bible verses that really kind of ground me and center me in just being a wife and a mother and an employee. But one of them that I have on my email is Psalms 46:10, and it's been on my email for the last 12 years. It's "Be still and know that I am God." And that one just personally resonates with me because it reminds me to refocus myself and to depend on God, that the work I do every day is not my work, is His work. So a lot of times when you are in a role where you're managing a lot of different projects or there is a lot of complexity to the work you're doing and a lot of variables, I tend to maybe get a little bit wound up in that, a little bit frantic, a little bit self-reliant. I act as though it all depends on me. And the truth is, I need to stop. I need to be still. I need to know. I need to be reassured and depend upon God, that God is in control of this. It's not my work, it's His work. and I'm his tool. And so I will, you know, be used as a tool to the best of my ability. But in the end, it's really me working for God. And so that refocuses that anxious energy into productive, I feel like God-centered energy.
I love that, Heather. Such a great reminder. Love that. Next question we have for you. If you could give your younger self some advice, what would it be?
So many things. I would tell my younger self that it's to relax. I would tell my younger self to have a little bit more fun. But I think what I've learned through work, the older I get, is that the tasks that you do, although important and really valuable and necessary, eventually they will expire or get outdated or be replaced. And the true meaning of the work that you're doing, whatever your role is how you invest in people. And so when I was first starting out in my career, I was so, so passionate about the mark I was making through the tasks that I was doing. And the older I've gotten, the more I have seen those initial projects, whether they be lesson plans or administrative policies that I've written or any of that, it's all replaced now. It's all new and different. And yet the people that I worked with, if I did my job well, those people felt poured into, felt loved, felt that they grew through my leadership. And that's the lasting impact. And of course, especially the lasting impact is to do that in the name of Christ. So that as if they're a brother or sister in Christ, that you're helping facilitate their faith development through the work of the Holy Spirit through you. Or if they're not a Christian, that they see Christ in you. So I think that's one thing I would tell my younger self. And even I have to tell that to my older self. I sometimes do still get very anchored in solely focusing on the day's tasks and forget about the people that are connected with those tasks.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Heather. And I truly loved the statement that you made as far as with you supporting the people that you work with, meaning whether it's students, faculty, or staff, because that's why we're here in education, is to definitely make sure that we are here to support one another. So thank you so much for sharing that statement as well. We do have one final question for you. Describe one pivotal time in your pre-COVID past. And I know you had mentioned, you know, about COVID before, either personal or professional, that changed the way you approach work-life balance.
So I think this is a great question. I've always worked. I have two children. I'm married. I have two children that are young adults now. They're in their early 20s, but I've always worked. I took 6 to 8 weeks of maternity leave with each of them. And most of my career, I worked 12 months. So that idea of work-life balance has been one that I've struggled with my whole life. And I've realized that there is no balance where work and family will get equal parts of you consistently. What I've learned for myself is that there will be an ebb and flow to that. Sometimes work will get more of you. Sometimes family will get more of you. And it really takes wisdom to know which group should get the most of you at which time. I personally struggle with this and will dedicate myself sometimes, especially in my younger years, more to work. And I think it's because I didn't want to upset anyone. And I found work very validating. I love working. There's immediate reward to work. And so it was easy to put my family on the back burner because they would always be there. And I've learned that I really need to trust in the insight of family and friends and colleagues to tell me, to help me prioritize who needs my attention now. I remember one time when my daughter was in probably middle school or elementary school, and she had gone to science camp for a week with her classmates, and they were coming back on Friday. So the buses will be arriving at school on Friday and be dropped off. And I just assumed that, you know, she would get off the bus and go to after school care. That was my plan because I had to work late. I couldn't show up to the bus and pick her up. I started to get the sense that this bus arrival was a big deal. Parents were talking about making sure they were there. We were getting information from the school about the time and where the parents could park and all these things. And I realized this bus arrival was a big deal. in my mind, it didn't seem like such a big deal. So I told, you know, I kind of assumed like, my daughter will just go to after school care. It's not a big moment. I don't know why this is getting so much attention. And a day before, I was sitting at lunch with a colleague, and this was a gentleman who didn't have any children, but he knew the school. And I was telling him about it. And he just looked at me and goes, "You need to be there." And I go, "Really?" He goes, "Yes, you need to be there. Ask for the time off and go there." And sure enough, he was right. It was a big fanfare. And I would have had a disappointed daughter had I not done that. So through my professional career, whether it be my family or friends or fellow teachers and colleagues that have pointed out, this is a time where your family needs you. It's okay to ask off for work. Or this is a time where your work needs you. And it's okay to ask your family to pick up the slack while you go to a conference or while you need to work on a special project. You know, my kids are taking a, even though they're young adults, they're living at home and they see their mom in grad school. So I'm working full time, I'm in grad school, and they have less of me. But my husband is there saying, this is good for them to see that you are investing in yourself professionally. That's as valuable as you not doing it, but giving them more time. So that's one of the things that I really trust, is asking outside people how to help me create that balance.
That was wonderful, Heather, and so inspiring. That's a great note to end on, and we thank you for sharing with us your experiences and perspectives. It sounds like, you know, so many of the things that you're facing today and have faced in your career are just right up the alley of what so many of us women are facing. So thank you for shedding light and just sharing some of your wisdom with us here today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Concordia University Irvine's Advancing Women Leadership Podcast. Thanks for listening and have a blessed day.